listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch. With Dr. Michelle. On LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. Hope you're having a beautiful day out there today. It is lovely in the city, everywhere, no matter where you're at. It's lovely somewhere. God bless all the people in Japan. Say a little prayer for them. And we're going to talk about something really interesting today. You know, we've all heard of Zen Buddhism, the Zen way. Remember the book in the 70s called The Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance? Remember that? And then all these other books came out about understanding the concept of Zen, which can be applied to anything. People are going, what is that about? Well, today my guest, Dr. Brenda Shoshana, is an expert on Zen and what it's about. You know, you can apply it to every part of your life. Actually, it's about improving your life. And she's been on my show before, Dr. Shoshana. She was here with, The Seven Principles of Living. She has had so many books. She's one of the few psychologists, actually, who's also a long-term Zen practitioner. She's the real deal, you know, because her work is putting together psychological, spiritual, practical aspects of relationships. She kind of shows you how to find the fulfillment that you've always desired, you see? And so her latest book is really helpful to you in all different ways. It's called Living by Zen. And it's timeless truths for everyday life. How do you live your life by practicing Zen? How do you do it? What is the best way to do it? And a lot of people go, oh, Zen, you know, it's meditation and that's what it's all about now. Well, actually, it's about that, but it's a way of living. It's a way of thinking. Right? So what I understand and from reading the book is that Living by Zen is dedicated to integrating Zen practice and daily life for all people. Now, it relates Zen to practical concerns with problem solving, you see, relationships, mental health, helps you with your own religion, and all that. So let's just bring up our guest today, Dr. Brenda Shoshana. So nice to have you on the show.
Hi, how are you, Michelle? It's good to hear from you.
I am great. I loved your last email to me, Brenda, because it was so zen.
Okay.
You see, I sent her the questions. What do you think about these? And she said, it doesn't matter. It will all be fine. It will all work out. Isn't that perfect?
That's right. Let's just be in the moment with whatever comes up.
You know, if we could all live like that, it'd be fabulous.
Yeah, it definitely would.
You've been working on this a long time in your life, haven't you?
Well, I've been practicing Zen for 38 years.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's a long time. It just feels like, you know, it's funny. It just feels like a drop in the bucket, though.
Yeah.
It feels like I just began yesterday.
Oh, that is amazing. So your latest book here, of course, I've been talking about it. It's Living by Zen, and it's timeless truths for everyday life. And
right. What
I loved about your book, Brenda, is that it really does practically explain a lot of the concepts of Zen and how we can apply it to our everyday lives. And it's, you know, what also was great is around Valentine's Day, you came out with a real big focus on applying that Zen to relationships.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a huge part of our everyday lives. You know, Zen is not separate from everything, from anything,
it's
from
true.
Our cooking, from our lives, from our husbands, our boyfriends, our wives. Yes, yes. I mean, the practice permeates everything.
You know, it really does. It's fascinating. And the whole book, by the way, it's not completely a relationship book, folks, because it does focus on how to kind of deal with issues that come up in your everyday lives, how to look at stressors and problems and, you know, just sort of the Zen way of thinking. And, you know, what's interesting is I think a lot of people, Brenda, in the world just say, well, there's so much going on. There's so many stressors. I have to make so much money. I have to, you know, live this way. There's so many things going. How can I get into that state of mind when I've got so many things that I have to deal with in my life?
Right, that's a fabulous question. And, you know, it's not just about getting into it, jump into that state of mind.
Yeah.
The truth is that Zen is a practice.
Mm-hmm.
And like anything, I mean, you wouldn't say, how can I run a marathon in the middle of a hurricane if you've never been working out, right?
Right?
Or if you didn't prepare for it. I mean, people prepare a lot for many things in their lives. They go to the gym, they stretch, they... When they run a marathon, there are all kinds of instructions about how to prepare for it.
Right.
But we never think that way about life, that we have to prepare for life, that we have to build certain kinds of muscles, that we have to get ready. So, you know, Zen practice is, that's the very word, it's practice.
Mm.
So to begin with, there is the most fundamental aspect of Zen practice, which is called Zazen, which is Zen meditation.
Mm.
So most students of Zen... or all students of Zen, to begin with anyway, for many. And beginning, by the way, in Zen is about 50 or 60 years.
Yes.
It's not a quick fix.
Yes.
It's not a quick fix. It's a lifelong practice, but it's incredible, the power and the joy and the beauty that it brings to your life. So as I said, we do Zen practice. We meditate regularly, mm-hmm. daily. And also it's very important to do it with a group.
Mm.
The reason for that is it's almost impossible to keep it maintained all by yourself. And also with a group, you have the support of the group. You have teachings from the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
You have instructions. So it's a whole practice. And as you do it, and as you study and read, then your state of mind changes profoundly and deeply by itself.
Yes. And what I really enjoyed about the part of meditation in your book, because a lot of times when people, especially in the West, you know, the Western cultures out here think, oh, I'm going to have to spend some time, actually,
mm-hmm.
Some of my really precious time, oh, I'm going to have to go into these meditations. It's so very simple. And it takes a couple of times a day, even once.
And, you know, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
When, if you just sit even 15 or 20 minutes a day, your whole day will be different. But it goes further than that. You know, this sense of being pushed and rushed and that we have to keep going. That in Zen is considered an illness.
You're right. No,
you know,
you're
it's
so
like
right.
It's the monkey mind. Like we're being driven, and like we're on a merry-go-round that goes around and around, and so our sense of time changes as we practice or become Zen students. We begin to really, really cherish each moment.
Yes.
And it's not like we're going to rush to the next moment. I'll do this and get it over with so I can go to the next moment.
Yes.
No, each moment is the perfect moment.
It really is, and that's a hard concept to get, especially out here.
Well, I bet it is out there.
It really is, you know,
and it's so beautiful out there. You have sunshine and trees and warm weather. But you know, really, it's this kind of achieving ambition that goes on.
Yes,
it's almost insane. You know, it almost has an insane quality because we.
It does.
Because we go, give me this, give me that. It's called in Zen being a hungry ghost.
Oh, it's true.
We want more, but we never get to stop.
Right.
Enjoy what we have.
That's what you describe as the hungry ghost in your book, which is interesting. And I've always, you know, you look at this always urge to keep going to the next thing, accomplish the next thing.
Yeah.
I want more. And what I have stressed in my program and in my practice, actually, throughout the years is this addiction to the drama that we don't realize, and it, you know, our chemicals in our brain are changing to fuel that addiction, to continue those high levels, you know, of adrenaline flowing and the neurotransmitters that are addicted to that immediate gratification and then on to the next, which is indeed like, you know, it's almost like substance abuse that we're doing to ourselves and our brains.
Perfect. Yes, beautifully, beautifully put. Absolutely. We're abusing ourselves. And we're doing something even more sad, really, mm-hmm. is that we're missing our lives.
Yeah.
We're missing. We can, and we can go on like that in that high, and then, of course, we crash.
Right.
At some point when that all of that high energy, it's like a drug. You
yeah.
crash, and you go downer, and
exactly.
you need an upper, and everybody's taking pills for uppers and downers.
That's
and,
right.
You know, the Zen practice comes right at that point and says, stop. It says,
yes.
please just stop.
Exactly.
Your fulfillment, your joy, your strength, mm. your well-being, your value as a human being does not lie there.
Yes, I agree.
That's not where you're going to find it.
That's exactly right.
And sooner or later, people become so bankrupt when they live that way.
It's a perfect way of putting it.
Emotionally bankrupt.
Yes, it's really true. It's a perfect way of putting it, Dr. Shoshana. By the way, if you just tuned in here on the couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio, my guest today is Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's been a wonderful guest in the past and out with a new book, author of Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. And it's a fascinating read. I've always been interested in, you know, spirituality, but it's more like improving the self. It's a connection with the higher spirit and all that, but it's non-denominational. It's really also a way that you can calm your thoughts and live, you know, a quality life and not have,
yeah.
like you said, that monkey mind, you know,
right.
that we
like,
work
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. You know, it's the quality of your, and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, it's as if we're racing, you know, then you describe all this racing. We're racing, seeking something, and the
yes.
thing that we're seeking is right inside of us.
Mm.
So
yes.
the more we seek racing outside, the further away we get from it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a doctor, a therapist, and I mm-hmm. know as a therapist, how many people come to us quite shipwrecked, really.
Yes.
And very rich people, successful, so-called
yes.
people, whatever. And then we let go of all those labels, successful,
mm-hmm.
rich, powerful,
yeah.
all of that goes away. And we really find out what we're doing here on this planet, what our life is really for, and how we can really bloom like a flower in the spring.
I agree. You know, that's beautifully put, Dr. Shoshana. I see the same thing. It's a, you know, I see all of those things, and it's wonderful, of course, you know, to have money and be successful. It's lovely. You know, you work hard, you achieve. That's what it's about, of course.
Yeah, but we're not rejecting that, but
exactly.
if you become addicted to it and
right.
identify with it, and it, let it drive your life,
right.
then you're gone.
No, it's true. And I find, like you, you know, with clients who come in who are quite successful and all that, many of these things are distractions to defocus on what is going on inside.
Exactly.
It's so easy to worry about the out there every
yes.
day. You know, before you go to bed and crash and you're exhausted or that, you know, have your martini or whatever, and then you're up again and you're on the defocus about out there. You're on the TV and you got your stock market thing and, you know.
I can't even believe it. I mean, it's such a nightmare. People don't realize, you know, they say in Zen, we don't know the difference between medicine and poison.
Yes, yes.
And I love that phrase.
That
and
is
we
a
really,
great phrase.
We really don't. We don't.
It's
we
really
don't.
True.
We're poisoning ourselves. We're ripping away the real prize of life, which is true love.
Yes.
I mean, true love with true connection with
yes.
others
yes.
and with ourselves. Really tasting the great gifts that we get every day. You know, we get so many beautiful gifts.
Oh, we
every,
do.
And they're completely free.
Oh, they sure are. And being able to recognize them.
We, you know, people miss the goodies. They
mm-hmm.
miss the true goodies. By living that way, they really it's really scary. It's like they become part of a machine in some kind.
It's true. You know, I work with people who have a lot of relationship problems, and a lot of my listeners know that, and I help them with relationship issues. But and how do you define Zen in terms of applying it to relationships?
Well, I love your questions. You see, I didn't know what they were, and I'm enjoying each one of them thoroughly.
You're so Zen.
In a sense, when you say Zen, what you're saying is your true, authentic self.
Uh-huh.
You're saying being completely in the moment, being spontaneous, being real. So in terms of relationships, the Zen mind would really look at a relationship in a completely opposite way than most people do.
Yes.
Again, most people view relationships as accomplishments or their person is their possession or their
right.
person exists as an object out there to make them happy,
right.
to keep them high. to make them feel good about themselves. So all of this is considered just illness and poison or affliction. Zen doesn't use the word illness, but these are afflictions caused by illusions and delusions. And a relationship, it starts with, of course, a deep relationship with yourself. And as you have that, you feel so connected to the whole world, to everyone, to the earth, to friends, to there's no sense of enemies or danger around.
Yes.
And then, and when you do have an intimate relationship then, or a significant other, or someone who comes even closer in your life, that person is not someone to be used for your pleasure. They're someone to be honored, valued, and served.
Oh, that's lovely. You know, so many of my clients come to me and they talk about failed relationships and how they feel so empty and they have the self-doubts about their ability to find any kind of a person in their life. And then I tell them very similarly that they need to love and be okay and fill themselves up with what they need from within before they're ready to really open up to another human being.
Also there's a million people they can have a relationship with if you're willing not to have somebody there as a way to aggrandize yourself and give to you, but as a way to give to look after. Mm-hmm. We call it in Zen the parental mind, and that's the mind that seeks to nourish and serve and care for others.
I love that.
Isn't that beautiful?
It is beautiful. So you think that we can really find the perfect person for us, or are there lots of people out there?
Well,
for
I mean, everyone's perfect. Who isn't perfect?
Okay.
Could it be perfect or not perfect? Everyone is, from the Zen view, everyone is perfect, including you, including me, including everyone. And when you, whoever's brought to you, is someone there who's there for you to love, to serve, to give to. They're not there to meet your judgments and standards and your needs.
Yes.
They're there for you to, you know, we have a thing in Zen, you know, we put our palms together and we bow a little in the Zendo before we walk in and at different moments. And that little bow means thank you. It means I'm here with you, I see you, I surrender to you.
Yes.
And that's the same attitude toward a relationship.
Yes.
Whoever comes, little bow.
And
I value you.
That's lovely. And in terms of, and people also get to choose, you know, who they want to share their time and have relationships with.
Oh, sure. If you're talking about an intimate one-on-one relationship, of course. But whoever you meet, sooner or later, you're going to have to face certain issues with, of course, things about them you won't like, or maybe they usually, whoever they say and send, whoever you meet, you attract a mirror of yourself.
Well, is that part of the Zen belief?
Absolutely. Well, we don't have beliefs, but it's an experience that you have.
Yes.
They say whatever you cannot accept in yourself, whatever you cannot accept in another is something you can't accept in yourself. So, you know, I'm doing, in fact, a workshop. I do many of them called Relationships as Spiritual Practice.
Yes.
And one of the things we see, you know, is if you're rejecting someone, judging them, whatever, you're really rejecting a part of yourself.
Well, that's for sure. You know, I always try to help people understand that, you know, what is it within them that attracted, you know, I get a lot of complaints. People come in and say, oh, I was hurt again by, let's just say, many young adults. I was hurt again by this guy and he lied to me and he cheated. And, you know, I found out that he really drinks a lot and he's not a happy person. And he's done some pretty nasty things to other people. Why did I bring this guy into my life? What is it about me that attracted this person?
Well, maybe she could turn around and say, how could I help this guy? And it doesn't mean to be a victim.
Right.
It doesn't mean to be a victim. It doesn't mean to be in an abusive relationship.
Yes.
But you might not even have to be with him to help him. It's how you view him. It means to send him compassion and love.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't mean to be codependent with him. It doesn't mean to do that dance. It means not to take it personally as if he's doing it to you, that the whole world is about you. You see who the person is. You wish them well. How can I serve you?
It's really true. You know, it's interesting with many people who have the, as you and I have, you know, dealt with before in our practice, the access to, you know, cluster B disorders. You know, there's a lot of narcissism involved.
Yes.
You know, it's all about kind of them and how the world, of course, is, you know, not kind to them and how they deserve and that kind of thing. And do you really think that a lot of people who are more narcissistic or even to the extreme, a borderline or antisocial, could really benefit, you know, and understand the Zen, because you really do have to be humble. You have to have a certain amount of
humility. Well, the thing is, these are great. I love talking to you, by the way.
Thanks.
It's a great question. Let me say something.
Mm-hmm.
You're not taught, in Zen practice, nobody is taught a whole set of rules or regulations of how things are. You're never taught how things are. I remember when I first came to the Zendo, my teacher, many, many, many years ago, and I sat there, he said, "Here we have nothing we ask you to believe.
Mm.
All we do is say, come and find out for yourself."
Ah, okay.
So beautiful is that.
It's about yes.
Come and find out for yourself. As you practice, you will have a different relate. I don't care what label there is, narcissistic, psychopathic, I don't care what it is. As you practice truly, you're going to change.
Yes.
You wake up. You will have a different relationship with yourself.
Yes.
You'll see things differently, whether you like it or not. You know, when you get on the cushion, you take a position, and you don't move until the bell rings. At a Zen center, it could be 30 minutes, 40 minutes. At home, you could start 15 minutes. But whatever comes up, you have to stay there and be with it, whether it's physical pain, whether it's memories, whether it's feelings.
Yes.
This, you just can't run away moving, into jumping, into thinking. You're just staying with your breathing and getting in touch with the whole range of who you are.
Yes. You know, that's
as
lovely.
You do that daily, you know, there's a beautiful saying, Suzuki Roshi, an old, not alive anymore, teacher in California, actually. He said, practicing Zen is like going out in the mist, in the misty day. Little by little, the mist just permeates your body. You don't even realize that you've gotten wet.
Oh, that's lovely. That really is. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in, my special guest today is Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's the author of her latest book, Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. And much of it has to do with relationships and how to really find lovely relationships and cope with them, not necessarily even find, but understand what's going on with you and your relationship to life. And really, it's about the journey within yourself, is what I would say.
And, you know, and it's about becoming more gentle in relationships.
Yes.
I think that, and kind. I think those are words that are not so common anymore. To be kind. And it's about really just, you know, the relationship isn't there to make you somebody wonder. It's about exploring or just making friends. I mean, you know, just make friends.
Yes.
Like, and, you know, find out about yourself.
Yes.
Find out about the person. So, you know, and when somebody has to leave, you know, one of the great sorrows and pains of relationship is how we clutch and we hold on and hold on. We're so afraid of losing someone, and we feel we're being rejected if they go away.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But not in Zen. In Zen, we keep our hands open. When it's time to come, we welcome.
Yes.
And when it's time for them to go, we do not pursue.
So
like the ocean, waves come in and the waves come out.
Mm.
That's a beautiful attitude to have toward a relationship.
It is a beautiful attitude. It's difficult, you know, as we know as psychologists, it's very difficult for people, again, who come to us and they're, you know, brokenhearted, they're hurt, someone has left them. It's, again, I guess, they feel a reflection of themselves. What did I do to push this person away, or what was it about me, you know? And it's very difficult trying to explain that concept to them.
Well, you know, again, it's hard to take it as a concept. Again, it's when you actually practice, you really learn it. I mean, one of the things you learn as you practice is that nothing stays, sadly. There are certain really sorrows in this life and painful, difficult experiences. It's not because of you or anyone. Life is change and change. And, you know, that's life is change.
Yes,
it is. And we could spend all our time in a relationship trying to keep things from changing.
Yes, yes.
And inevitably, they change. No one is going to be there with you forever.
It's,
no one.
It's really true.
And it doesn't mean anybody failed. It means that's the nature of life and of relationships. So when you really learn that deeply and you integrate it and you don't clutch against it, it's much less painful. It does hurt. Mm-hmm. But you know, but we don't make a whole big deal out of it, make a whole story, make a whole identity. Oh, I'm so terrible, he left.
Yes.
You could see it more like, okay, the wave came in and now the wave is going out.
Yes, that's lovely. And of course, we can also apply that thought to, you know, people who pass away in our lives.
It's true.
You know, we are all going to be there, and
that's right.
The wave is going to go out, and we're going
it
to be
will.
Left standing alone or with few on the beach, but the wave will eventually come in and get us. I mean, we have to just allow and understand that as well.
And that's true. And, you know, and when you sit deeply, deeply and keep sitting, you don't really feel alone in the same way you do use otherwise. You feel,
right.
I'm not saying you don't experience loss. Of course, there is a pain of loss. There just is. But you don't have that feeling of complete abandonment and desolation because you feel so connected to life itself.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you've come to really, as you sit, you come to really learn the essence of life coming and going and the ebb and flow. You learn it in your bones, not just in your thoughts.
Mm.
They say in Zen, you have to make this into your flesh and bones.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it something real that you really can live with and that permeates you.
Yes. It's a knowing. You know, it's just
you just
a
know it in your bones, and that takes practice.
Yeah.
You know, again, it takes practice. And for me, the practice now is so joyful. I mean, it's my favorite time of the day when I sit.
Yeah,
it's like my present. Oh, I worked it. I did this. I did that. I can't wait. You know, it's such a lovely, it's a treat and a delight. The practice, if you know, it becomes so delicious and such a reward, such joy. I love it so much.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it's so nice of you to share this information and to share your experiences as well. You know, in terms of...
There are many... Excuse me for interrupting.
Mm-hmm,
I'm sorry. But there are many Zen centers, by the way, in California.
Yeah, yeah.
And so lots of them, much more than in New York, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you can... Anyone who's listening who is attracted to it, I would really suggest they go over there and take a try.
I would, too. I think they're wonderful. I've been to some of the Zen centers out here in, you know, on the West Coast here in the Los Angeles area, and they are lovely, and there's so many people, you know, involved in that
How nice.
You talk about in Zen applying it to relationships. What do you mean when you talk about real and counterfeit love? This is a point that you make in your book that I find pretty interesting.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, you know, when people really, when we stop and say, oh, I didn't get love, I'll never find love, they don't stop and really say what love is.
Ah.
From our usual mind is if I feel I can't live without him, I love him. They confuse love with dependency, with possessiveness, with control.
Right.
Or do they think, oh, my God, he loves me so much he won't let me walk out of the room for a minute. You know, all of those things really are not love.
Right, exactly.
And if they're not love, they're going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. That's really true.
So in Zen, you know, we call those counterfeit love.
Uh-huh.
That seems like love. We feel it's love, but it's not, because real love never, never hurts. It just never hurts.
It's
real
true.
Love is nourishing and beautiful and kind, and it doesn't hurt. So if you're feeling hurt in a relationship, maybe you wanted to manipulate or control the other person.
Mm.
Maybe they wanted to manipulate or control you.
Yes.
Maybe you felt like you were nothing without them and you were using them to build up a sense of self.
Yeah.
I mean, there are many, many things that really we call love and have nothing to do with love. That's just a way of covering up, as you said, our deeper problems and needs.
Yeah.
So when you differentiate between the two.
Yes.
Then you begin to see that, well, if I'm in a relationship and I'm playing games with someone, I'm putting on a show, I'm wearing a mask, I'm putting on a front, I'm trying to get them to love me, I'm trying to change them, which is a big thing we all do, I'm trying to control them, and then all my strategies aren't working, so I feel like I failed. It's all silly. It's just a big game. All of that has nothing to do with love.
Exactly, and that's kind of what you refer to when you're talking to people, to not use their relationships to develop their fantasies.
Exactly. Yes, of course, because we can have so many relationships, just fantasy relationships.
Yeah.
The person is, you know, you get a fantasy about another person, or they have a fantasy about you, and you think, oh, my God, I'm madly in love. This one's it. When we say they're perfect, we say, oh, they match my fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, inevitably, first of all, you don't love the person. You're in love with your fantasy.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't even know who the person is.
Right.
And if you're with them for a while, after time, inevitably that fantasy is going to fade away,
mm-hmm.
and you'll get to know the real person,
yeah.
and then you'll think, oh, my God, I've been gypped again, or I've been hurt again. All that nonsense.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
the truth is, don't use someone to project your fantasy on them,
yeah.
or find out who they really are.
Exactly. And you can find out more about who they really are, I would think, when you really learn about your true authentic self, because you're
Absolutely.
Really open and more able to identify who someone else really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can't really know more about anyone than you know about yourself.
Yeah.
And the more you sit, this is so, you know, for me, sitting is really a willingness
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to become friends with myself.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's a willingness to really be with myself,
yeah.
to accept whatever is there, to look at it. When I say accept it, I'm not meaning I'm going to act out on negative things. It doesn't mean that at all.
Mm-hmm.
It means just to become aware of all parts of myself,
yeah.
to see it. And, you know, I did this beautiful workshop called, it's based on Zen, called Welcoming the Disowned Self.
Yes.
And that is, we've all disowned and hidden from and hate so many parts of our own selves
yes, yeah.
that we then project on others, and it's really important to welcome them, to see them, to make friends
right,
with
right.
all parts of your own self, which again doesn't mean acting out negative things, but just understanding them. Just mm-hmm. by becoming aware of those parts, letting mm-hmm. them have a voice and a say,
yes.
and listening to them, then you can grow so much, and then they subside.
Yeah.
They do subside.
It makes a lot of sense. You know, when you were talking about that, I was just thinking about the way the media portrays how we should be, you know, especially with a lot of young people. They have the beautiful out here in Hollywood in L.A. and the actors and the fantasy life. And, of course, the sad part of that with a lot of the abuse going on that we see with a lot of young actors and actresses. And it's
horrifying,
do you think
isn't it?
That it really is sad? And don't you think I don't know how, you know, or how people can prevent, you know, themselves from buying into a lot of this stuff, because all we see are ads with beautiful people, and this is the great life.
Well, you know what? The thing is, there's huge conditioning in the world.
Yes.
You know, we're tremendously conditioned.
Right.
And also within each person, there's what we call in Zen the Buddha nature.
Yes.
And what we mean by Buddha nature is it's a spark that's awake, that's true, that's loving, that's real, that's healthy,
mm-hmm.
that knows the truth. Everyone
yes.
deep inside. Deep, sometimes
yes.
too deep, sometimes you don't get in touch with it, but some, and the ones who really kind of feel the emptiness of that lifestyle mm-hmm. and that it really doesn't at all live up to what the ads are for it, or
right.
what the, then they come, they search, that's called becoming a seeker.
Mm-hmm.
Then they begin to search for something deeper, something more satisfying.
Yeah.
And you know, it's very hard to be, it's like an onslaught of all kinds of fantasies and ads and
yes,
in
yes.
the world. But, you know, our Buddha nature is strong as well.
Yes,
it's
it is.
It's strong. And sometimes all you have to do is read a book or at the mm-hmm. right moment or hear
yeah.
somebody speak or anything can awaken
yeah.
you to the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
So
maybe,
I think.
Yes, go ahead, Brenda.
No, I just, for some mm-hmm. people, when the time is right, they will awaken and say, okay, this is, I'm being kind of hypnotized here. This isn't a big illusion.
Yeah,
and
true.
It's like being on a merry-go-round, and I'm going to step off the merry-go-round and see what happens next.
Right. And it's the same also, you know, with substance abuse, you know, on that cycle. And, you know, we look at, and not to get into it, but we look at poor little Lindsay Lohan, poor little lost soul, you know, and, of course, the latest newsmaker, of course, Charlie Sheen, the poor guy has, you know, been abusing, you know, drugs.
Yeah, we
for
see a lot
so
of
many
sickness
years.
Out there.
There's a lot of sickness, and they really could, in some way, if they could just pull back and just see how they are, you know, appearing, and even the model, you know, if they don't want that to help themselves, even look at the model that they're setting for young people,
oh, I know.
Other people
I know.
In the world.
Well, you know, it's very, very sad. I mean, it really is sad because they, you know, they're just completely caught up
yeah.
by all the hype and the buzz of that world,
right.
and it's too bad that the press makes such a big deal of them.
Yeah.
I mean, as if they're, you know, great stars or celebrities.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's just a shame. I think it's that I think that the press makes a big model of them and
right.
puts so much time and attention on these because it's for the shock value and the celebrity value. That's really sad.
Yeah.
That's really sad for everybody concerned, but you know what? What could we do? All we can do is our share. We can do our, I write my books. I have workshops.
Yeah.
And to whoever's supposed to listen and hear, hears, and the same with you. You do such beautiful work.
Aww.
I mean, all we
can
do is what we can do to counteract that. You know, we need to counteract that. It's a toxic force, in my opinion.
Yes.
Very toxic, and it's unreal. It's unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, I see lots of people with all kind of anorexia, all kinds of disorders that come from this wish to be perfect, and they don't realize that each one is perfect exactly as they are.
And that is a really hard concept, you know. And we were talking about, in keeping with that, problems, of course, with relationships and jobs and our health, just to name a few. So you say don't make life into a problem. Right?
Yes.
How can we ignore these things? You know, get up every morning or have clients who come in, it's like, oh, my back. Oh, my. Oh, I can't even.
When you do send, this is how, again, we're going into, it's not ignoring anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you do send practice, you receive your experience in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, as we sit on the cushion, and maybe we'll sit for half an hour, maybe an hour. When you go to the Zendo, maybe 2-3 hours. Then you do retreats. You sit for 6-7 days.
Mm.
You learn a different way of being with pain.
Yes.
Of course pain will come. Inevitably pain will come.
Mm-hmm.
But we learn how to, where it's coming from. We learn how to be with it. We don't run away from it.
Yes.
And we don't make a big deal out of it. We sit with it and we see it comes and then it goes.
Yes.
And we don't make a whole story about it.
Mm-hmm.
We just learn a new way of tasting our experience.
Exactly. That is fascinating because, you know, a short while ago I had a client who came in to see me, and he was talking about, you know, a lot of people in his life who were in pain and who recent parent had passed on, and how he's, you know, trying to cope with the losses and how horrible it is and how alone he feels and how powerless he feels. And I, you know, I'm not heavy into Zen practice, but I will be after talking with you and reading your book. Thank you for that. But, you know, I'm trying to, in some way, and this is part of what you're saying, I guess, and you can help me out with this, is that these are part of life. You can taste these feelings. They don't taste good. They're bitter. But
that's
it's
okay.
All
my, you know, my teacher, Soen Roshi, said to me once, I was early, I was sitting in this, I was just sitting in the center. He came, he was here from Japan. He came running down the hall. He whispered the Zendo, the aisle, and he whispered in my ear, Eshin, do not avoid bitterness.
Yes.
And then he ran back.
Oh,
I had no idea how he knew I was avoiding bitterness, so that I was. But he meant don't avoid anything. Taste it.
Yes.
We taste the sweet of life. We just taste it. Taste the bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't resist or run from anything. Just be. If you can really be with whatever God or life or your experience gives you, you really let it wash through you, and then it leaves, and the next experience comes.
Yes.
And then if you keep on doing this, you don't separate yourself from life so much, and then this feeling of helplessness goes away.
Yes.
The feeling of abandonment goes away.
Mm-hmm.
We're not helpless. We're extremely strong.
We are.
But it's just that we don't see what life truly genuinely is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there's pain in life.
Yes.
But there's a huge difference between pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know how to really receive your pain and receive it and taste it and let it go, not act on it, not make up stories about it, you know, not obsess about it.
Right.
If you learn really how to receive it, then everything that you taste is beautiful. It's just a taste.
Yeah. I mean, we can, you know, take a lemon and squeeze it in our mouth, and it makes us pucker, and it's not pleasant, but, you know, it is an experience that we can embrace and know.
Absolutely. And you know, whether we like it or not, we're going to have painful experiences.
Yeah.
You know, it's when we defend against them, we strategize against them, we plot, and we're afraid of trying to do anything because we're going to have pain.
Mm-hmm.
Then we shut out our life and we become more and more nervous. But if we go out and live and we expect it, we know it's going to happen, but we can experience it. we can take it, and then it'll go, and then another experience will come. It's a whole different way of living. Mm-hmm. You know, life has everything.
Yes.
It has everything in it, and it's not a reflection of anybody that a date on a relationship. If they have pain, it doesn't mean they can never find someone. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with them. It means that's the nature of life. People
yes.
come and people go.
Oh, yeah.
People come, and it's not a reflection of anyone.
Yes, and it's not
It is
bad.
The nature of life. They'll stay yes. in this. They'll stay with you as long as they're supposed to.
Yes.
As long as you both have something to give and take from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And then the time comes for it. Sometimes a relationship is 3 minutes. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's 3 years.
Yes.
And if it's only, sometimes it's 30 years, and however long it is, it's never going to be forever.
That's really true. It's so true. By the way, I just wanted to let you know, folks, if you just tuned in here to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, you're listening to my guest, Dr. Brenda Shoshana. She's the author of the book, Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. It's a wonderful, really Thank interesting, you. It's a quick read, too. Which
yeah,
is,
it's clear. It's up on
it's
Kindle.
Very
it's very easy to get it.
It
you can just go to Amazon
clear.
And get it on Kindle. Click, click.
Yeah, and also, I just, you know, I wanted to ask you something else, which,
sure.
you know, I thought might be really important for listeners because this is, you know, the way I look at it is you came to us because you're the mirror of what we all need right now, Brenda. So hopefully the
oh, really?
Listeners,
okay.
the listeners will say, wow, I needed to, you know, learn from this. And this is why I tuned into LA Talk Radio at this time, because, mm-hmm. you know, this was my lesson from Dr. Shoshana here. You talk about the importance of developing a grateful mind. So
yes.
here's my question. With so many worries and stressors and responsibilities and everything that we all have, how can we get to gratefulness all the
oh,
time?
Oh, it's so simple. It's so simple. And if you get to gratefulness, the worries and stressors go away. Mm. You know, it's what we're perceiving. If we perceive
yeah.
trouble,
right.
We're dwelling on it. We're looking at it. But how about, it's very simple, stopping every day
mm-hmm.
and saying to yourself, you can spend even a half an hour. This is actually called Nikon practice. It's a beautiful practice from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And say, what did I receive today?
Mm.
And make a very careful, specific list. What did I receive today? We receive so much all day long that we don't even notice that we're receiving.
Right.
We think we have nothing.
Yeah.
And we never say thank you for it. We just
right.
think it's coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
What did I, for instance, today I received the most delicious bowl of oatmeal for lunch.
Uh-uh.
I received a smile from the doorman.
Mm-hmm.
What did you receive today? Become aware.
Yes.
Because you're going to want to write it down on your list. Then the next, you spend quite a bit of time each day dwelling on that. Then you also ask yourself, what did I give today?
Uh-huh. Okay.
So many of us feel we're giving, and we're never receiving anything. But
right.
if you, what did I give? That you may be very shocked, not so much.
Yes, even a smile walking into the bank or something, looking at
right.
someone who is looking down or depressed. You,
exactly.
You
it means
give
a lot.
Yes.
It means a lot. So what did I receive today?
Yes.
What did I give? And then the third question in Nikon is a very interesting one. It's, what trouble or pain did I cause today?
Huh. Okay.
It's not what trouble or pain did someone cause me, because we're always thinking about
right,
that.
Right.
What did I cause? And this is not to become guilty,
right.
but just to become aware, more sensitive
mm-hmm.
to the reactions of others and to what happened that day. All it requires is awareness. You say, oh, my goodness, look, I did that. And then you don't do it again. Or
right.
if you did something, you simply correct it.
Mm-hmm.
As
yes.
you do this process,
yes.
what did I receive? What did I give? You become very aware of how much you're receiving all day long. And you just want to give back. And you want to say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you think all your problems go then?
Yes.
Where are they when you're not right. thinking about them?
Right. They're gone.
That's
They're
right.
not there. You're not manifesting them.
You know, here's a wonderful little exercise
yeah.
that I love to
mm-hmm.
do.
Okay.
If I'm feeling blue or down or something,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I say, what can I do today to make someone else's day really wonderful?
Mm.
And I pick someone
yes.
in my life, and I think about, how can I make that person's life today really special?
Oh.
I promise you that will take your worries and problems away.
Yes, yes.
Because most of our worries and problems are such self-absorbed,
yes.
self-centered absorption. Me.
Yep.
Is the whole world going to work out the way I want it to? Me.
Right.
But if you just dwell instead on saying thank you to
yes.
people, to life, and on giving in return. Mm. I guarantee you, written money back guarantee, mm. that your worries, your anxieties, your problems are going to start to pass mm-hmm. and fade from your mind, and you'll feel so much joy.
Yes,
you'll feel so much joy.
Well, thank you so much for that. It's a perfect way to end. We're running out of time here, Dr. Shoshana, but how can listeners get in contact with you to find out about your workshops and, you know, get their own copy of Living by Zen, Timeless Truths?
Well, okay, mm-hmm. you can get Living by Zen easily on Kindle, on Amazon.com. It's right up there. It's easy to get it.
Good.
If you want to email me, you can. My email is topspeaker@yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And the best website, I think, is just drshoshana.com,
yes.
drshoshana.com. And just let me know you'd like to be on my email list, and I'll put you right on, and you'll be informed of all the different things that are going on here.
Oh, that's terrific. Brenda, it's been a pleasure, as always.
Thank
so
you.
So nice
Michelle,
to have
it's a pleasure.
You.
I feel as if I know you, and I wish you a beautiful, beautiful day.
Oh, well, bless you. Thank you so much. And again, we'll be talking soon, I'm sure.
I look forward to meeting you actually in person one day.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Take All care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's Dr. Brenda Shoshana, the author of Living by Zen, Timeless Truths for Everyday Life. It's real. It's practice. It is all about you can combine every form of psychology, stress management, peacefulness into reading her book. You know, learn about how you can cope better with relationships, how you can manage your life, just more stress free. You learn a lot about yourself, and it's really, it's not work. It's more pleasure and learning about what you can do to improve your life. So, all right, this is Dr. Michelle with you, and I hope you've enjoyed being on the couch with me today. You can, of course, contact me at docmichelle2ls@aol.com. Love to hear from you. Or, of course, my website. It's Dr. Michelle Therapy. That's abbreviated, drmichelletherapy.com. Thanks so much for joining me. You can get off the couch or stay on it if you want. More great shows coming up. And, of course, the latest news from CBS. Have a good day and do take care of yourself first. Then you'll be great for others as well. Bye-bye.